week service, boy, and I can look around. We need to pray for this church. There's folks missing. You know, you look around. I know life is busy and stuff like that, but I don't know about y'all. I don't know about them and know about y'all, but I need midweek.
Amen.
I really do. I need midweek. I need the uplift. I need the body of Christ around us. And, you know, pray that other folks will get that need too. Amen. That folks will get the hunger and the thirst and want to be here and hear the word of the Lord with us and learn how to live right. Amen? We need some live right time, right? Because as hard as I try, I fall short all the time. Last night in men's Bible study, we're going over the book of Jude, and we got to verse 3. Amen? We've been doing one verse a night. All right? Jude is a deep, deep book, and we haven't even got into the thick of it yet. But last night we talked about earnestly contending for the faith, what it means, that putting on the good fight. And as I was thinking about that and preparing for the sermon today, it kind of locks hand in hand with each other. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 and following. And so to earnestly fight for the faith, to stand for the righteousness of God.
Amen.
We need to look and to understand what the Scripture says about that. Because
yes.
We can earnestly fight for the wrong faith. We can earnestly stand for false doctrine and be wholehearted doing it. We need to understand the truth of God's Word and learn how to apply that Word
Amen.
In our life in a personal way. And and as you do it, you get to know Jesus in a deeper intimate relationship. You get to know him a little bit better.
Amen.
As you walk with him, as you study the Word of God, as you walk with other Christians, he strengthens you and he shows you new aspects of an unfathomable riches of God.
Blessing.
Amen. And so he says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye hence walk not after as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all ungodliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Amen? So look at what he's saying here, what Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus and writing to the church of charity also. We need to understand that we don't walk the way that we used to walk, that we get away from the old life. We're supposed to crucify ourselves, our flesh, with Christ.
Amen.
Right? That the old man, he's still alive in me, but I should not allow him to have power over me.
Amen.
We are in this world, right? But we're not of this world. The things of this world should not be infecting our life, our relationship with the Father. So we need to make a clear decision that we don't walk like the folks who don't know the Lord.
Amen.
And he's going to get here a little bit later in the same scripture that we ought not lie to each other. If you stole, you should not steal anymore. There should be a real change in a life that is committed to Christ.
That's right.
See, and the unfortunate thing is, the church today hasn't been taught this for a long time. For years. You know, that although Jesus paid it all, there's still a line to toe. Right? Jesus paid it all. He paid for the sin debt of the world. He paid for that sin, no doubt. But because he paid for that sin for you, he bought you off of the slave market, now you are his.
Amen.
And we're supposed to crucify the old man, you know, and his habits and his deeds, and no longer go back to the way that we used to be. We need to choose not to live ungodly.
Amen.
You know, Romans chapter 12 says the same thing. Paul has a way of repeating himself, right? Or not repeating himself, telling us the same thing in a different outlook. And so in Romans chapter 12, he says, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." All right, looking at that in light of what we just looked at in the book of Ephesians. All right, we're not supposed to be living ungodly or walking in the way of the ungodly people anymore. We need to present your body, your life,
Amen.
As a living sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma before the Lord. The Word of God tells us that we need to be holy because He's holy.
Right.
And the reason that we have these instructions in the Word of God isn't necessarily for our benefit. It's that the world will see you, and they'll see the way that you live. They'll see how you represent the Master, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because they're going to judge the God you serve by the attitudes you have. Right? So you need to make sure that your life is in line with the Word of God
Amen.
As best you can. And he says, verse 2 of chapter 12 there of Romans, be not conformed to this world. Amen? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Right.
Do you know that you can prove what the perfect will of God is for your life? Kill the old man.
Yeah.
Stop living in lasciviousness. Stop deceiving yourself, because you ain't fooling God, right? Because if you might deceive yourself and deceive everybody around you, and they'll look at you and say, oh, what a good Christian. On Sunday, you are such a good Christian. But then when they see you on Monday, you say, you're a dog. You know, you act just like the rest of the world. And the Word of God tells us that we need to watch our step, watch the way that we walk, that we're not to be conformed into the attitudes that this world has.
Right.
There's so much garbage out there in the world. This life matters, that life matters, and this election, that election, all the politics and all the hoopla and all that garbage that's going on. I'm not a Facebook fan or nothing like that, but I saw some things. It wasn't on Facebook, it's on a news stream that I get. There's a couple in Washington, and some of those radicals went in there, and they're fist pumping, right? Uh-huh. And they said, well, I don't want to be a part of that. And that crowd of the world surrounds this poor couple that's just trying to have lunch. They just want to eat my sandwich in peace, right? And these people just start screaming and hollering. And unfortunately, some of those people that were screaming and hollering would call themselves Christian.
Yeah.
They would. There's a lot of folks with this life matters and that life matters posters in their yard. The only thing that matters in life is your eternal life.
Amen.
Amen? And we are not supposed to be, as the body of Christ, being conformed into these mindsets that are anti-Christ. Right? Jesus didn't tell us to hate each other, to pick on one another. He said love each other, and as much as it is with you, live peaceably with everybody else. So in Romans, he's telling us that, and Ephesians, he's telling us that. No, and not to think too highly of ourselves.
Right.
You know, if we're really going to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to keep who we used to be in the back of our mind.
Right.
Because you were a sinner, lost in your sin, heading for hell just like everybody else, until God called you by your name. And you heard Him, and you understood that He was offering you salvation. And you decide, you wanted what He was putting in you.
Amen.
All right? And at that time, you realize that He knew you before the foundations of the earth, that He called you long before He set the world into spinning around, that He knew you by name,
Amen.
And He called you into His righteousness. Amen. But we don't realize that until we surrender into His righteousness. And when we surrender to His righteousness, we find out that we were written in the book before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. And so and that's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about that. And so back in Ephesians there, he tells us that we shouldn't walk as other Gentiles, having our understanding darkened.
Right.
See, when the world is doing the things that they think is right, their understanding is actually darkened to the ways of God. Jesus said, if the light that you perceive is actually darkness, then how deep is that darkness? If you're out there and you really and truly believe with the fullness of your heart and your mind that what you're doing is righteous, But it's against the Word of God. It's against everything godly. But you believe it's right. So you're perceiving the darkness as light.
Right.
Then how deep of sin, putrefied darkness in your heart. When you can live in that type of stuff and still think that you're righteous before God.
Right.
I weep for those people. I'm not angry at them. I don't have a hard feeling towards them or nothing like that. My heart breaks for those people because they need a right relationship with God.
Amen.
They need light in their life, something that can penetrate that darkness. And so, and we need to have our mindsets illuminated and not be dark like the rest of the world. Not be without the presence of the Shekinah glory in your life through the Word of God, through applying it to your world. And so he says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You can pull that back to Romans chapter 1, where he goes through all those lists. And they did not, although they knew God, they did not worship him as God. And God turned them over to lasciviousness and all those works of the flesh, leaving their natural use, male and female and all that. And God gave them over to that, right? Because they knew who God was, but they didn't worship him as God. The thing that they saw as light was actually darkness, and they trusted what they believed over them, what the Word of God says. Yeah, brother.
Let go.
Yeah.
And then he gave them up.
Right, exactly. God just gave them up.
Yep.
And talk about a vacancy. I hurt for those people.
Yes.
It's because they think that they're doing right. And as a Christian, we all ought to have a brokenness for the lost and the hurting, because it hurts God. It hurts Jesus. Jesus came to pay for their sin. In fact, didn't come to do it. He came and did it. He paid for their sin, the sin of the whole world. And his greatest desire is that those people that hate him would come to know him as their Savior, right? That they would come out of that darkness. And verse 20 says, but you have not learned Christ, right? If you know, if you've learned God, that living in darkness is not correct. If you've heard the gospel, not just the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but the good news of the inheritance, the good news of the joy in life, the good news of peace, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, godliness, goodness, self-control. If you've learned that from God, why would we ever leave that to what the world has to offer? Why would we ever go back? Why would we? I mean, I'm asking, is it just because of ignorance that the church isn't really on fire for God? I'm curious, because I'm dumbfounded. I don't know why people don't want.
I think it's got something to do with our materialistic, slothful, decadent.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
They don't give up control.
Yeah, they won't give
up.
They
do not want to be totally by controlled by God.
Yeah.
They don't want to be absolutely surrendered.
You know, prosperity, I think, actually, prosperity itself can be a bigger hurdle.
Yeah.
Yes.
An adversary to the
right.
Soul.
Yeah. What did God tell Israel? Or he told,
you'll forget me.
You'll forget me. You'll go into a land and you'll live in houses you didn't build. You'll eat from gardens you didn't plant. And because of the blessings of my blessings for you, you're going to forget me. And I believe that America, because of the blessings of God, the church has forgotten who God is. And it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't want them to know, but it's like you said, the lasciviousness, the decadence, because 401K. We have... Huh?
The 401k.
The 401k.
Two cars in the driveway.
Absolutely.
You know?
I got two cars, a garage.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. I'm a poor widow.
Seven square meals a day?
Yeah. Seven square meals a day. Stop eating Legos.
I was actually listening to something by John MacArthur this morning, and he was mentioning that way too many churches are trying to look attractive to unbelievers.
Yes.
To get them in.
Right.
And so what the problem with that, though, is you come in, you get the attractiveness, and then the attractiveness stays.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it never goes away.
Exactly.
And now you have these unbelievers, and they're penetrating and saying, but this is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And
the church should never look like the world. All right, so if we got to have smoke machines and electric guitars and a drum set and, you know, these $50 million singers coming up here to perform to get people to come, well, what are the people coming up? They're not coming for Christ. They're coming for a performance. You might as well go to the Red Cross Arena and watch Kiss, you know, because you're going for a performance. And that's not what the body of Christ is supposed to be. This is a training area where we come to know God and how to emulate
Amen.
Him
Amen.
Through His Word. And we need to get away from this lasciviousness, right? We need to get away from this wealth and prosperity false doctrines. Now, don't get me wrong. God will give you wealth. It may not be in your pocket. Amen? I got more wealth in my heart.
Oh,
Amen.
The
joy of the Lord. I mean, He is my strength. Right? And I may not have two pennies to rub together in my pocket in any given day, but I'm never poor. Look at me. I eat good. Right? I do. I had a sweet lady today. She brought me some lemon cookies.
Oh.
Amen. I'm going to throw some peanut butter on those. Woo! Baby. I put peanut butter on everything. And so anyhow, but anyway. And so on. But you have not learned Christ. Christ, when He was on the earth, He told the rich young ruler, right, that foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not a place to lay His head. Are you sure you want to follow Me? I mean, because that's what the ruler was asking. That's what that rich man was coming. He says, listen, I want to follow You. And Jesus said, listen, you follow Me, it's going to be tough. You're not going to have all of the niceties of life. You're not going to have all the riches of this world. Are you sure you want to do it? Right? And then there's another one. He asked and he said, well, what does it take to have salvation or have eternal life? And he gave him some laws. And the young man, again, he was a rich man, said, I've done all these things, right? I've obeyed, I've not hated my parents, I've obeyed the law, I've done all those things. And then Jesus said, well, take what you have and sell it and give it to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I can't do that.
Different story.
It's a different story. You're right. It's a different... when it costs me something to follow the Lord, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the church, we need a revival.
Yeah.
We need a revival of God's Word. We don't need somebody paid to come in and pitch a tent outside and make a revival.
Amen.
The church needs to realize that we are not where we ought to be as the body of Christ.
And I think that what will happen is God will kick the props
yes.
out from the church.
Amen.
Fall on Him.
Yeah.
Because that's all we'll have.
Kevin, think about this. God kicked the props out of the church, and what did they turn to? The government.
Yeah.
God kicked the props out of the church, and the government says, well, hey, if you'll stay closed, we'll give you money.
Government turns
right,
more and more
right.
against them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they become the lion and they really show their teeth.
Yeah. Absolutely. My wife shared a video with me today about a pastor in California, 3,000 member church, right? And but he wanted to obey the law, so he did all the things that the law told him to. He shut his church down, and now as they're trying to reopen it, the law says that they can't meet outside and sing worship songs. So they're fining him $5,000.
Is that MacArthur?
No, it's not MacArthur. It's some.
Go
ahead.
It's a Baptist church.
Yeah, it's a Baptist church. What's the name of it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. But it's a.
So they can't sing outside?
They can't sing outside.
See, when the smoke and mirrors leaves,
yeah.
Smoke and mirrors are starting to disappear now.
Yeah. And you'll see that you sold out Christ for the government.
Yeah.
Right? And you started worshiping. And now they're getting mad because the government's saying, listen, you worshiped Me before, and now you're trying to get your worship back from Me? Too bad. You sold out. You sold your soul, you know, for rock and roll. You know, you sold your soul to keep, you know, you sold out. And the church, the body of Christ,
it's a
not the building. It is. And I'll have to share, if I had a way to fly that, shoot that up, I can let you watch it on my little square thing, iPad, you know, and so I'll let you watch it on that, but I don't know how to give it to you. Yeah. I'm not techno savvy. I don't want to be. But listen, we haven't learned Christ that way.
No.
We learn Christ to be humble. We learn Christ to be honest and true and faithful, a healer of the sick, not a runner or hider from the sick, right? And so in verse 21, Paul writes here, if so that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. So where are you going to find truth? In Jesus. The government's going to lie to you. And it stands a good chance your pastor's going to lie to you. I'll try not to, but it happens. I caught a fish that big, right? And so, listen, if you know Jesus, you need to hear from Jesus. You need to hear from Jesus from his word. You need to get who you are from his word. You need to get how you need to live, the aspects of life, from his word, not from the government, not from your neighbor, not from some big high-paid pastor somewhere. Just God will teach you through the Holy Spirit and his written word everything you need to know about life, about anything, raising kids, managing money, all those things. He'll show you everything that you need to know right here. And so verse 22 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, your old man, the old person who you were before Christ, the Bible says that you were corrupt. You're corrupt. You're like a rotting corpse. That old man, there's when God looks at you in your old state before you knew Christ, you were his enemy. You know, there was nothing in you redeemable except for what Christ came to die for, which was that relationship, that you can have a right relationship with the Father. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And what was lost when sin came in was that deep, intimate relationship with God. And so, because it doesn't tell you anymore that God came down in the cool of Adam, in the cool of the evening, and had a time with Adam. Right? Don't hear that anymore. When sin entered in, that phase of life, that phase of relationship went away with that. Well, Jesus came to rekindle that relationship.
Amen.
Right? He came that we could have a cool of the evening, that we could surrender our heart to his heart, and that he would meet us there in the garden alone, if you will. You know? And so, but that former lifestyle, that former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, it's you got to get it in your head before you can get it in your body.
That's right.
Right? A lot of folks try to get it in their body and they act morally, right? I know a lot of unsaved people that are morally correct, but their spirit is dead.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I mean, if you looked on at the outside, they look better than you do. Right? They talk, they don't cuss, they don't drink, they don't do any of those things, right? They don't cheat on their taxes, just what we would consider good, upstanding, individual human beings. But when God looks at them, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
their righteousness is still filthy rags. There's nothing good in them. It says that they're corrupt, all right? And their old life, that is a corrupt, it's away from God. That's why we must have the covering of Jesus Christ, that perpetuation of his righteousness over top of this unrighteous sinner. All right? And Jesus came to do that for us. And not just for us, for anybody who would allow him to. Anybody who will listen to God and relax in him, fully trust him, God will wrap them up in the shelter of his wings. Every human being. What stops people from doing that? Pride. I want to be my own God.
Yeah.
I like my corrupt lifestyle, right? And I might have a righteous appearance, but my mind, my spiritual mind, is still corrupt before God.
Right.
That's why Paul says that we must renew in the spirit of our mind. Change your stinking thinking. Right? You got to get out of that old thought process. Get away from the way that you used to be and come to the newness of life that's in Christ Jesus. Through the studying of His Word, through the loving each other the way that Christ loved us, right? Now that's what He's. Go ahead.
When it goes out, something's got to come in.
Amen. Thank you.
The word.
Oh yeah, Jesus said that, didn't He? A man gets a demon cast out of him, and the demon goes around, and he gets hungry. He gets wandering in the wilderness, and he comes back. He says, "I'm going to make my. I come back to that same guy. I've had it happen." Right. Amen. Right? I've had that thing cast out of me, but I didn't put the righteousness of God back in me to fill up that hole. And then that demon comes back and he says, "Wow, what a nice cleaned up apartment. I'm going to go get some of my buddies. We're going to have a frat house." Yeah. Right? And you get worse than what you did right in the beginning. And so Jesus warned us about that. So we need to have that mindset, the renewing of the mind, our spirit in the mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yeah.
All right? You've got to put Him on. Jesus paid it all. He made a way where it was impossible for humans to do this. But God came down in the likeness of sinful flesh to be tempted in every way and yet without sin. Jesus did that for you. He did it for every human being on the face of the earth. Right? And so we got to get the new mind, put on that new man, which after God was created, so that you were created in the image and likeness of God. Remember that in the very beginning? God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Yeah. And we were created in His likeness with His attributes, or some of His attributes, not all of them, but some of them, right? And but sin came in and messed all that up. And here Paul is saying, or reminding us, that we need to renew that spirit of our mind and put on the new man. Get away from the old corruption. Get away from our old sinful lifestyle. And that takes work,
yeah,
right? And you've got to discipline your body to do that. You've got to discipline your mind. Anyone here find it difficult just to study the Word of God? I mean, because isn't there always something else to do? Mm-hmm. There's always something else to do. And you say, "Well, I'll find time." No, you won't. You cannot find time. You got to make time.
Right.
You got to discipline yourself and say, "I'm going to choose studying God's Word, applying God's Word above everything else in my life."
Amen.
The beans can burn. Doesn't matter. I don't have to have supper on the. I don't have to vacuum, right? I don't have to do those things. What I have to do is get into the Word of God. I have to get in here because the dirty laundry is going to stack up. And even if you wash all of it tomorrow morning, it's a new stack. You don't have to. All those chores and all those things of life are going to keep coming.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter on the day you die. You know, well, geez, she didn't wash her laundry before she went to the Lord. Who cares? All right? That don't matter no more. We got to have this right mindset in us that God comes first. We got to have Him above everything else in our life. This new man has got to be fed. After you get saved, I mean, there ought to be a hunger and thirst for righteousness in every believer's life. But if we don't feed that, we don't feed the Holy Spirit, then we lose the urgency.
Amen.
The old man takes over.
Yeah, and the old man comes back and takes over. Yeah. Right? Oh, my goodness. I think the church is perfect. We haven't been taught this. I mean, when was the last time that you read this and understood it? And because it's really simple. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a smart man. I should not be telling you anything new tonight. This ought to be something you've read over and over, and you've applied it to your life. You ought to be doing it. Everybody ought to be sleeping. But I can tell that it's something to you because you're awake. You know? And you're saying, "Man." As put on that new man, right? In verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away..." Now, this is up to you. You've got to put away lying. Do you know that? You've got... God, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you stop lying. You got to do it. It's something that you've got to train yourself that you're not going to tell stories anymore. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Wow. I think America needs a shot of that, don't they? You look at the nastiness and the anger and all that stuff. It says be angry. It's okay to be angry. But don't let that turn into violence. It's okay to be mad. Yeah, it's an emotion. Mm-hmm. And God gave us all of our emotions. It's okay to be angry about something. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be so angry about something that it changes the characteristic of God in you.
Amen.
Right? And be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give an opportunity to Satan. So if you continually lie, you're given an opportunity to Satan. If you continually are angry about stuff without a cause, then you're giving an opportunity to Satan. If you go to bed angry at your neighbor, your brother, your wife, your whatever, you go to bed angry with them, that gives Satan an opportunity to build into you a seed of discontent. Right? And he puts that in there. Well, geez, if I just had somebody else different, it would be better. No. The grass may look greener on the other field, but it's still grass.
Right.
No, still grass. Don't taste the same. It don't matter which side of the field you're eating it off of. It's going to be the same thing. Because don't give the opportunity for the devil to take away your peace.
I think it means even a little more than that.
Yeah, come on.
It means don't blame him for what you're doing wrong. Because a lot of people say, you know, that Satan's been...
Oh, my goodness, you're right.
Whatever. And it's just like you said, you have to not lie. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's another problem, probably.
Yes.
Cultures, because we blame...
Yeah. Where did that come from? The devil made me do it. That was back in, it was old stand-up comedian. Right?
Flip Wilson.
Yeah, the devil made me do it. Right? So, now, we give way too much credit to the Lucifer. We really do. Well, I went into this sin because Lucifer. No, it was your flesh. You gave in to your own desires. Right? And as you gave in to your own desires, it produced sin. And sin, when it's paid for, brings death. When it comes to its fullness, it will kill you. Yeah. Right? So you look at what the Bible says. You look at this part right here. And we like Debbie was saying, we way too often blame, well, I didn't mean to do that. The devil made me do it. No, you meant to do that, and you're just blaming somebody else. Yeah. Oh, Lord, it's not me. It's the woman you gave me. No, it's the serpent that came in. No, it was you just didn't want to obey the word of God.
That's right.
Right? And if you'll be honest with the Lord, right, you say, all right, God, you're right. It was me. I did do that. Forgive me. Guess what you'll find? Mm-hmm. Renewal. You'll find forgiveness. You'll find strength. It's that honesty. Yeah. See, when we try to cover it up, when we try to hide it, make excuses for it, that's where Satan gets stronger. That's where the flesh gets more powerful. See, if we confess our sins one to another, right, then we grow. We learn from each other, and we're strengthened. We edify. See, if I confess my sin to you, then you can pray for me. Right? I confess that I'm struggling. I have a hard time that, you know, or you confess it to me. We're not supposed to beat each other up over that.
No.
What we're supposed to do is love each other through that. Strengthen one another. Pray for each other.
Amen.
He says, he who stole, steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, look at what he said. If you were used to steal, stop. All right? All right, put a different sin in there. Put a different lust of the flesh in there, whatever it is. All right, you used to fill in the blank, don't do it anymore.
Right.
Do the opposite of it, that you can provide for the church, that you can provide for the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, he uses stealing here. If you steal, don't steal no more, but let man go to work. All right, well, I say cheat, all right? You used to cheat. You didn't steal. You just cheated, right? You got a 15-minute break at 9 o'clock. Got a 30-minute break at lunch. You got another 15-minute break in the afternoon. Now, that's normally how work goes, or the way I remember it anyhow. Is it stealing? Yeah, my wife's laughing at me. But anyhow, is it stealing on that first 15-minute break if you take 25 minutes? Yeah. And
post office.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so when you do that and you call yourself a Christian, what does your workmates think of you?
Hypocrite.
Absolutely. That Christian's just like me. And that means his God is no better than the God that I serve, right, which is the God of self. That's why we as Christians need to stop doing those things that are outside of the convenience of God, outside of the acceptance of what the word of the Lord says. If you stole, steal no more. Get a job. Get a job, and not only get a job, but you have a job for a reason that you can provide for a need. Wherever you do, whatever your vocation is, God doesn't care what your job is.
No.
He cares that you go to work. Was it 2 Thessalonians 3:16, I believe it is? The man who does not work should not eat.
Yeah.
Amen? Right? If we would get back to that and get off of the welfare, man, what a different... turned it into, what was it called a couple years back? Workfare. All right? I like that idea. You know, you give everybody a job. I don't care what it is. There's 58,000 potholes in town. You got a bucket of tar. Go fill up potholes. You get 400 potholes filled up in a day, come back, I'll give you money.
Right.
I'll put beans on your table. Right? But don't sit there and wait for me to give you something. Get up and get something. He says, if you stole and... Boy, I've already just jumped right into that one too. If you're able-bodied and can work and you're taking off the government's dole, guess what you're doing? You're stealing.
Yeah.
You're stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're taking somebody else's hard-earned money.
Right.
And you're using it and keeping it from somebody who really has need. So you're stealing from the person who gave it, and you're stealing from the person who really needs
Amen.
It. Right? So he says, if you're able to work, go to work. And when you go to work, that you're able to give to him that's in need.
Mm-hmm.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, mm-hmm. that it may minister grace to the hearers. I'm bad on this, because I'm kind of harsh with what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I don't have much flowery speech. You know, and often I say things that are hurtful, you know, and it happens. You know, I would say I don't mean to do it, but I said it, so I guess I do mean to do it. Because if you let it come out of your mouth, you do it, right?
Yeah.
Now, so, but the corrupt communication, that's more than just cursing or something. It's
yeah.
putting people down. It's coarse jesting. It's making someone feel less than what God has created them to be. Instead of doing that, we need to edify them, to build them up, to strengthen them
right.
in the things of the Lord. Too often, churches, they kill their wounded. Right? They don't do the things that God told them to do. They let that corrupt gossip, this corrupt communication. Do you know that? If you're a gossiper, stop. You don't need to talk about somebody. If you've got something to say about somebody, bring them into the conversation with you. You want to know how to stop gossip? I've done it several times. They come to my office and they'll say, Pastor, have you heard so-and-so? I said, let's go get so-and-so. All right, let's go get them. Let's bring them in here. And I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from them. Right? And you'll be, oh, no, don't go. Don't tell them. Don't say. I didn't say nothing. You know? Well, then why did you start the gossip? Why did you start that? That's part of that corrupt communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't let it proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good, all right, to the use of edifying, that it may minister, that it might serve grace
right.
unto the ears.
Right.
And you'll be judged on what you say a lot more than what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You ever hear that saying? I was brought up with it. Do as I do, or do as I say, not as I do.
That never works. That never works. I always did what they did, regardless of what they said. Because they told me to do the right thing, but they were living corrupt in front of me, so I lived corrupt. Because that was what was shown to me, right? Until I came to know the Lord. And see, doing those things that are outside of the will of God, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
That's why it says in this next verse, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, catch this. How long are you sealed?
Till
the day of redemption. When are you redeemed?
When you're saved. Redeemed, that's, you said?
Yep, when are you redeemed? Until the day of redemption. Until the day, go ahead.
When Christ comes.
When Christ comes. Until the day of the turning over.
Yeah.
All right, so like if I'm going around and I'm picking up bottles, right, and I'm putting them in a bag, all right, that's a soul right there. It's all a little nasty. I've used this before. It's an old beer can, right? That's what I was an old beer can. And there's a big old slug in there. And God picked me up, and he rattled it, and he smelled it. It smells bad. It has a big old slug in it. And he saved me. He picked me up off the ground out of that nastiness. And he shook for a while, and finally that slug came out. And when it did, it landed on the ground. He put some salt on it and dissolved. No. And then he put me in a bag. Right, he redeemed me. He set me apart. I'm in God's bag, right? And he's purifying me and cleansing me and making me holy. And then there's going to come a day. I'm held in the bag of the Holy Spirit. I'm already redeemed by him. But there's going to come a day that all of those old aluminum cans that were all nasty and beat up and dented, and he's going to bring it to the redemption center,
amen,
heaven, and he's going to dump it out. All right, and they're going to say, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. You know, all of you are worth a nickel, right? In New York, you got to. I see folks doing it all the time. So if you think of being redeemed, sealed, all right, you're sealed, you're in that bag and held there by the Holy Spirit until that day of redemption. All right, when that day of redemption comes, the Holy Spirit takes you and presents you to the Father, right? And he'll see you as a new creation,
amen,
in Christ,
amen,
Jesus. Amen. And so don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What would happen if you broke the Holy Spirit's heart every single day? You just, well, I know you threw that slug out of me, but I want that slug back in me. So I'm going to jump out of the bag and I'm going to run over there. I'm going to pick up the slug and I'm going to put it back in me. Right? That's what Christians do when they go back to the world.
Yeah.
When you go back, Peter says it's like a dog returning to his vomit or a sow returning to the mire.
But I don't think they were ever really saved.
No.
That's what I think.
A lot of people believe that, right? A lot of folks do, and I'm not going to get into the deepness of that tonight because it's already almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I know folks who, again, I don't know if anybody's ever really saved, right? Because that's not for me to say. That's what we're told in the Word of God, not to say somebody's going to heaven or somebody's going to hell. Because that's like taking his throne or taking his footstool away, right? The earth is his footstool and the heavens are his throne. So, and me to say, to look at you and say, well, you're going to hell and you're going to heaven, I don't have that authority. You know, I'm not the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I can know a tree by its fruit.
Well, that's what we look at.
Yeah, but I've been fooled by fruit. Right? I really have. I've seen some folks that had some real good fruit on the outside. But they didn't have the mind. They never renewed their spirit in your mind, right? They never, go ahead.
There's a lot of like prosperity preachers who, mm-hmm, a lot of people, and I have friends who have said, well, that person's saved. I go and I listen to their sermons and I was like, but they're not.
Right.
But they show their fruit is that of a believer. And
yeah,
their fruit is that of somebody who knows, and maybe, I mean, those men might know the gospel, might be saved.
They might. Yeah.
I don't know, but they're not preaching the truth.
Yeah.
And so I've seen a lot of that where the fruit is definitely there. And then I've also seen somebody stumbling around drunk who he is a believer. And when you listen to him, you can hear the gospel and you're like, please stop.
Yeah.
You beg him to stop.
Yeah.
But the person who is preaching the prosperity gospel, we encourage it.
Right.
No,
hey, well, plastic fruit. Have you ever been into a wax apple? My mom had those when I was growing up. You know, there were little plastic grapes and little wax apple and all that kind of stuff. I remember when I was a kid, I picked up that apple.
I thought it was a good. I took a big old bite. My teeth got stuck and I had to pull it out of my mouth. I couldn't pull my jaw off of it. It looked like an apple. It smelled like an apple. But it was wax. There's a lot of folks that call themselves Christian, and you look at the fruit, it looks good. But there's no realness to it. It's plastic. It's wax. And that's not for me to say whether your fruit's real or not. That's between you and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know? And I know the ones who are truly sanctified and set apart, they have a different life.
Right.
And they never turn back.
No.
Right? They don't quit. They continually push to the high call of Christ.
Amen.
And Paul said, I don't know if I've made it, but one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind, and I persevere, I push towards that high calling of Christ. We're supposed to check our salvation with fear and trembling, right? I need to check myself. Am I?
I know I am.
There you go. Praise God.
I know when I was saved, the time, and where.
And where, yeah.
And I had a witness.
Yeah.
So I know.
There you go.
And that's the way you know.
Yeah, you know because the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome.
And so there's a lot of folks that say that they're saved.
Yeah.
That they say the pray after me, right?
Yeah.
And they say pray after me,
yeah.
And they go the steps. But they never repent and never convert, you know. And so, yeah, it's a sticky soup.
Campbell's Church. I always thought I'd go to the grotto and go through all the stations and felt so good.
Yeah.
And confessed and then had communion and went right out and did the same.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And so that happens to a lot of people a lot
of
the time.
People ask, are you saved? Yeah, I am. I didn't know any different.
Yeah, right. I go to church twice a week, you know. Of course I'm saved. And so, but there's something about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. And he says a couple clues right here in 31 and 32. Let how much bitterness?
Oh.
All of it. And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That malice means a seriousness.
Yeah.
I mean, you put these things, you let all bitterness, how much bitterness? All of it. Well, you don't know what they did to me, and it ain't my business. All right, but you got to get over it. All right, you've got to put that bitterness away. You can't keep blaming. You can't go forward and hold on to past hurts. You know, it's hard to swim if you got a brick tied around your neck. It really is. You might swim for a while, but you have that bitterness, that hurt that you just can't get over. And God said, I'll take it from you if you'll give it to me, but I want it.
It's a secret.
Yeah, it's a secret. All that wrath, I want to get even with them, that anger, that clamoring in your soul, and all that evil speaking, put it away with a seriousness, with a vengeance. Be real with it. Contend earnestly for the faith. We looked at a lot of scripture in men's group last night about those three words right there. Contending, earnestly contending for the faith. What does it mean to really fight for the gospel in your own life? Right? Just desiring the holiness of God above everything else. See, when you desire that and you seek the Lord,
yeah.
Right, He will fill you. He'll meet you there. He'll teach you what is right, what's acceptable to God. And that's what Paul is kind of writing to us here, telling us. And verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that person that hurt you, what you got to do to them?
Forgive
them. Why? Because God forgave you. And I guarantee you, you owed more of a debt to Christ than that person owes to you.
Yeah.
Right? He forgave you a lot more than what any human being has ever done wrong to you.
Right?
Right? 1,000
talents.
1,000, amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know? And God is saying here, or Paul's saying through the Holy Spirit as he was penning this, that we need to be kind to one another. We need to be tender-hearted, full of compassion one for another, forgiving one another, right? Even as God forgave you for Christ's sake. He forgave you not for the Father's sake, but because Jesus came for you, that Christ came for you. He redeemed you. He has you set apart. And so anybody, everybody else who wants to do you harm, do you wrong, get over it. Right? Just get over it.
If you have a whole lot of money, what do you care what they think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
That's my motto.
I don't blame you, sister. That's a good motto to have. And be therefore followers of God as dear children.
Amen.
He says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then he goes into some works of the flesh. And we'll get into all of this next week, Lord willing. Because you'll look into this, you unfold it, and you'll find things in there in your personal life that you need to deal with. A lot of these sins that this works of the flesh he's going to be talking about is just things that we cover up and never deal with them. And since we don't deal with them, we don't get healed from them, and they become a festering on our inside. And God's saying, if you will just get over it, right? Get over it. Yeah, things sucked when you were a kid, but you're a grown man now. Stop. When I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Unforgiveness, rebellion, all of that hatred. Go ahead.
It's the act of, it's Satan's activation. So
yes.
He gets that door open, and then he'll really start pushing it. It's
right.
No longer just you.
Yeah.
Something else goes on.
Something else goes on. Yeah.
And now you got a battle.
And then you got... Yeah, when the salesman... When you open the door and the salesman sticks his foot in, you got to know how to chop it off. That's why I got Jake sharpen my axe. So yeah, keep it by the door for the vacuum salesman. No, see, I know as it just takes over like that. But anyhow, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank you guys for coming out this evening, Father. We do love you, Lord, and I pray that even now as we've looked into your word, and I know that we have some things we need to deal with as the church, Father, and we need to learn how to love each other the way that you told us to love each other. We need to learn how to forgive one another the way that you forgave us. Father, and teach us to keep our flesh in check.
Yes.
Lord, just trusting in you, leaning in you, knowing that you are the giver of light and life and love and compassion. And Lord, I pray that you would, and justice, Father, you gave us justice too. And help us to keep those things that we would have you, your love and ammunition in us. Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name.